You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back for hour number two here. Ben Standig, I cover the Washington Commanders, and I'm filling in for Chris Russell with you until 4 o'clock. We talked a bunch about the Capitals playoff exit and the Commanders roster in the first hour. We'll talk more about the Caps later this hour with Steve Wino from the Associated Press. But right now we're about to get smarter about the Commanders with my pal from the beat, Nikki Jabala, who covers, of course, the team for the Washington Post. And Nikki, before we get going here, big shout out to our guy, Sean DeBarbary, the head of, what is it? I think he's technically vice president of communications, but basically he's the PR rep over there in charge of dealing with us. He just got engaged, and he got engaged to another person we know, Jesse, who was with, they met at the organization. So clearly this is the best thing to come out of the Snyder era. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, the best thing, maybe the only thing. It's great for them. Congrats to both of them. That's huge.
That is huge. They got engaged in Turks and Caicos. I was thinking, was it you that asked? Now what? Where do you go for the honeymoon?
Yeah, if you get engaged in Turks and Caicos, like, man, where's the wedding gonna be?
Right. Well, you know, we'll see. Maybe, where's the owners' meeting next year? I mean, it's always someplace nice at a nice resort. Maybe it can be there.
That's true. I think it's back in Florida, though. Do you really want to get married in Florida? Nah, I'd say no.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, Lake Como.
Right. I've heard that's a good destination wedding spot.
Yeah.
But hey, look, maybe you wait for 2030 and put it at the new stadium, because I heard they're going to have like 200 events a year. Maybe this could be one of them.
There you go.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time, out of your schedule to come here and talk to me. This is a bit of the down period as we wait for OTAs and, you know, the draft is over. The schedule is out. And I know I talked about this earlier. I get questions all the time from people, whether I'm sitting in your seat, getting on the radio as a guest, or just in my regular life. How are they going to do next year? Are they going to win 12 games again? Is it going to be a bit of a drop for whatever the reason? I'm not going to ask you to predict the wins and losses, even though I know it's your favorite thing in the world to make predictions. But I do want to ask you, when the question comes up, what's like the one or two variables that come into your mind as to thinking what might happen? Because there are a lot of angles to go, whether it's the schedule, Jaden Daniels, the defense, mm-hmm. injuries, whatever it may be. What for you is like the one or two things you think, okay, this is kind of where I see the fault line of where it could go up or down?
I think about the first thing is the fact that they have a whole year of film on Jaden Daniels, opponents too. I mean, last year, you didn't really know what Cliff Kingsbury's offense would look like with Jaden. You didn't really know what he would be like at the pro level. Certainly didn't know what, if the O-line could keep him upright. Like, they were a total mystery. There's not a mystery anymore. You know what Jaden Daniels is. You know what he's capable of. And you know what, you know, some of their new pieces can do in different offenses. So you would expect it to be a dynamic, creative offense. The defense, there's still a lot of uncertainty there. But the fact that opponents have film on the offenses is big and could give them an advantage no matter what. The other thing is the schedule's not kind to them at all. Good teams. And they travel quite a bit. I mean, the international game is a nice thing to have for the organization, but that's a good bit of travel in week, 12? You know, they also go to Green Bay. They also go to L.A. So it's a lot more travel than last season, and they play good teams. They face a lot of good quarterbacks. So those would probably be the top two things that might, probably will, affect their record. But I thought they'd go, like, you know, 7-10 last year. I was clearly wrong. So
everybody was wrong on that.
Take what I say with a grain of salt is what I'm saying.
Everybody, I mean, other than the pure homers or people related to people in that building, nobody was predicting this. And I don't even think the people in the building were predicting this, or a 12-win season make the NFC Championship game. Not even possible.
Clearly not. That's why they traded for Marshawn Lattimore at the deadline. But
Right. Exactly. You know, I hadn't really thought about this yet. Obviously, the international game, no matter when it is on the schedule, is travel, right? I mean, you got to get overseas and all that.
Yeah.
And it's a disruption to the schedule, to your normal flow.
Yeah.
But that it is happening in week 11 is different than if you're going international in week 5. Because it, like,
right.
Whenever there's the weird quirks in the schedule, short weeks, whatever, I always view it as it's better to happen early when the team is fresher. Week 11, who knows? Like, what you're going to get beat up just by.
Right.
The rigors of the game. So that is a different aspect of it that I hadn't really considered.
Right. No, and it's, you know, that's the point in the season that I think is the most critical, because you've played enough games where everybody's banged up. You know, you could really use a bye, but you're not quite there. That to me is when I feel like guys could be the most vulnerable or most susceptible to injury. Knock on wood, I don't want anybody to get hurt. But I mean, that's a difficult time. And that's when they'll be coming off this long stretch of primetime games. You know, all these night games, all these, like, eyes are on them. There's a lot of pressure. So that'll be an interesting one. That and I think the Detroit game. But, I mean, there's some uncertainty with Detroit, with Ben Johnson being close. I think that's sort of maybe an underrated game on their schedule that could, you know, be significant.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the stretch there, like, I could extend this stretch out, but where you have Dallas on the road, Kansas City on the road for Monday night, mm-hmm. Seattle the next game, Sunday night here, then Detroit, then Madrid. Like, you know, that, I mean, three of those teams didn't make the playoffs, but Seattle was close. Dallas will probably be better. And, you know, Miami is obviously a tough offense to have to contend with, and you're doing it in a foreign land. So that stretch may be, in fact, where the season is determined ultimately.
Yeah.
The early part's easier. The back end's all division. That middle part, though, is very tricky.
Yeah. And if they're anywhere close to, you know, if it's like last season where they're really pushing to get in the playoffs and jockeying for a certain seed, then, I mean, that last stretch is brutal, frankly. I mean, they had a similar one in, what was it, 21 or 22, where they had those 5 divisional games to end. But the team wasn't, I mean, they were so bad at that point that it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't really a true concern. They made it somewhat interesting late, and then they, you know, they really blew it. But, you know, this team, you know, it could be tight. This is a tough division. So that final stretch with the 2 Philly games ending at the link, that's brutal, man.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We're talking with Nikki Jabala, of course, covers the Commanders for the Washington Post. I talked earlier in the previous segment. I was going through the defense, and everybody, of course, is asking, hey, did they do enough at defensive end? Don't they have to add somebody? And, you know, look, there's some older vets out there, but by and large, there's not too much they can do, whether it's edge or anything else. Is there something for you that's like, boy, by the time training camp starts or not too long into training camp, I still think they need to do X? Or are you mostly comfortable with where they're at, having made upgrades at tackle, at cornerback, at receiver?
I kind of go back and forth on this. I for the longest time, I was in the same boat as a lot of those people who are concerned about, you know, edge rusher and why they didn't do more at that position. And I understand why they didn't. Like, things just, you know, I think Josh Connerly is a very good pick. I think he could be a very good player at this level. The part where I'm kind of, like, moving on from that is, you look at, like, the first couple years where they had 4 first-round picks on the defensive line. That didn't work out so well, you know? Like, they yeah. they did not play well together. They were pretty good when 3 of them were in, but not when all 4. So maybe there's something to be said about having a really good interior rush and then having 2 complementary ends who know their role, who are good players. And they can find more opportunities for them, certainly. But maybe there's something to be said for that. I didn't think their line would be awesome last year, and it wasn't. They got way more production out of Dante Fowler than I thought they would ever get. So maybe that's how they're kind of envisioning it. And I don't know that that's necessarily wrong, because, again, we've seen what it looks like when they have a bunch of stars up front, and it didn't work.
Well, and not just that. I mean, look, I hate saying we should give the benefit of the doubt, because we have to be, you know, this is what we're asked to do, to be analysts to a degree, to objectively say they, you know, what they did is, you know, good, bad, or different, or whatever. But pretty much, if you look at what they did last year in on the free agent front, other than like Michael Davis at corner, everything kind of worked out. I mean, there's almost nothing yeah. they did last year where you're like, well, that was a mistake. And so Dietrich Wise, you know, again, nobody's saying he's Dexter Manley or Charles Mann, but look, he's a guy that's been in this league. He's gotten 5-8 sacks a lot of years. He's better against the run than maybe than Dante Fowler. So maybe it works out. Maybe Dorrance Armstrong, who had a good playoff game, was against the Lions. Maybe he mm-hmm. steps up with his sack total. I've said this before on my podcast and here already. I think they need to just trick Daron Payne into thinking he's in a contract year. Like, that, just tell him, look, if you don't step up, you're going to be this year's John Allen, and then maybe he has that Pro Bowl year that he had a few years ago. Because if that happens, that changes the
Do
whole thing.
Do they need to tell him? Shouldn't that be understood, though?
I don't know.
I mean, they did it with John Allen. What would stop him from doing it with Daron Payne?
I'm just saying, he signed the contract, and then the play has just simply – he's been fine, but the play hasn't matched the contract. And I do think, like, for all the lamenting about they didn't add somebody, there is a guy sitting right there who we have seen play at a higher level that if he could reach it, it can change the rest of the group. It forces more double teams there. What are the odds of that happening, though, based on what you've seen, though?
We know he's capable. You know, I do wonder if there was more going on last season, if he wasn't quite sure of his fit in this new scheme, but he's certainly capable. I mean, he's one of the most athletic DTs in the league, in my opinion. Like, his get-off is ridiculous. So, he's capable. Will he? Yeah, I get your point there.
I think the other variable here is Johnny Newton, right? I mean, last year, he basically didn't have an offseason. He had already had one surgery, and then he had a second surgery on the other foot before the season started. He missed basically almost the entire offseason. You know, he misses week 1 even. I don't think we necessarily saw the full version of him. It's hard to come into a league when you just had no offseason as a rookie. Now he does. You know, let's see if he's able to get more production, especially as a pass rusher, out of that. They do also add, of course, Javon Kinlaw. What do you make of that aspect? Like, again, we're talking so much about the edge rush, but if Newton shows, you know, the reason why they picked him as high as they did, and then the money they gave to Kinlaw, I mean, I guess it's conceivable that defensive tackle spot could be a strength, even though right now I think we're kind of looking at it like, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still don't quite understand the Javon Kinlaw deal in and of itself. 3 years, $45 million for what he's done, what he is. You know, maybe he surprises and has a monster season with him. But Adam, I mean, obviously drafted him in San Fran, likes the guy. Okay, I get that part. But, I mean, to me, all of this just shows that they feel good about the interior pass rush. They want to make that as good as it can, and they wanted to beef up the line to play the run. I think I still think it could work and work well if they have smart players at end who know their roles, who are still more than capable of rushing the passer, which they obviously are. I think Dorrance Armstrong can do much more than he showed last year. And sort of be those complementary guys to the interior rush. I think that's, you know, their strength is on the inside. You got to maximize that.
Absolutely. All right, we're talking with Nikki Javala, of course, covers this team for the Washington Post. You can find Nikki on X at Nikki Javala, NikkiJhabvala. You can find me at Ben Standing as well if you feel like it. All right, let's get to the reason why you're really here. You tweeted out last night that you were worried that Sam Hartman at the Caps game, he's drinking beer, he's pulling the jersey over his head. You're concerned about what this could do to his model like hair. What how concerned are you?
I hope he has an insurance policy on his locks, is all I'm saying. Because like those are his moneymakers. Like, you don't touch the hair. Don't get beer in the hair, man. Like,
is that bad? As a guy, every guy has had beer in his hair at some point, multiple times. So is that a bad thing?
I just think you ought to protect it. I mean, like, every contract has its clauses. You don't want to get injured in the off season. You know, it's sort of the same thing. Don't mess up the hair. So, you know.
So I don't know if he has this, but if they said, Jaden, you can't go skiing, you're saying, Sam, don't mess with the do. I respect that. He did also shave the facial hair.
Fine. Do whatever you want there. Like, but like, honestly, I'm just jealous of his hair. I wish my hair looked good. It's not fair.
Yeah. No, I look, as I've reached the age I'm at, I'm definitely jealous. I've always wanted to grow my hair longer, and it just doesn't go that way. It's
same, you know, I've been bald too. I get it. I will say, though, he is by far the number one chugger on the team. Like, no disrespect to Frankie Louvu, but he can't hold a candle to Sam Hartman. And I would not have guessed that. I did not think, you know, that Sam Hartman was, you know, top keg guy on the team. But lo and behold.
Right. Right. I think some of those offensive.
You can't cut him now. It's practice squad or roster all the way.
Right. I do think some of the offensive linemen might lay claim to being the number one chugger. But in all seriousness, you know, the Commanders have had different groups go out to these Capitals games and, you know, things like that. And they look like they're having a great time, and it's playoff atmosphere and all that stuff. I think ultimately, you know, so much of last year, we talk about Jaden Daniels and we talk about Dan Quinn, but the camaraderie that this group had, I really do feel helped take them to that next level. Because, you know, they really, I don't know if I've ever seen a more sum of the parts team succeed than they did a year ago. And obviously you never know. Chemistry is always a tricky thing. It looks though like they've been able to maintain that with the type of players they brought in. On the other hand, Marshawn Lattimore is an interesting personality. Debo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil. I think that is huge. And I think that some of these new vets are a test to that. I think though, this is going to be the other part that we don't talk about, but that chemistry has got to be there again. And I do at least think that going out there, being together at these Caps games, at least is a sign that it's still there.
No, I agree totally. I mean, it seems like these guys actually like each other and like hanging out with each other, which was, they clearly did not seem to enjoy 2 years ago. You in that locker room, and it, like, you could hear a pin drop. It was uncomfortable. Not that they hated each other, but more there was just not that camaraderie. No, I think winning helps. You know, everybody's happier when you win. But I think that's also in large part what makes Jaden so good. It's not just his ability on the field, but you know, he's personable. Like, he gets along well with everybody on the team. He's like the kid in high school who, like, got along with the jocks and all the popular people, but would also hang out with, like, you know, the not so popular people like me. So it's for that position especially, that's huge, you know, like, especially for a young guy to come in and just feel comfortable in his own skin and to make others feel comfortable when they're all sort of starting this together. He's sort of like that perfect guy for that role. And you could see how it brought people together. Him and Bobby Wagner, I think, are kind of perfect too, because Bobby's that trusted, proven veteran that everybody likes. So, you know, they kind of bring each other along with them. But I think that's big. And, like, I do think you got to give credit to Dan Quinn too, because he sort of breathes that mentality, you know, and ownership in the front office for building that players' lounge so guys would have their own space where they could just hang out and not just always feel like they wanted to get the hell out of there. I think they've tried to make it more of a team atmosphere and not just, you know, a job. And it is a job, but you know what I mean.
I do. We have to try to get that type of vibe in the media room next season. We're always striving for it, but we're not quite there. Nikki Javala, great job as always. Despite your self-deprecation, I had no fear about that. Go read Nikki in the Washington Post. You can follow her on X at Nikki Javala. Great stuff. Enjoy the weekend. Say hi to the little man, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Coming up next, we're going to have to dive into the Capitals. We're going to start to autopsy that a bit more. We'll do that next here on the Team 980.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, we're going to bring in our guy Steve Wino from the Associated Press to talk Caps. But before we get to that, the New York Jets on social media just gave a shout-out to Greg Zuerlein. Is he retiring or are they just released?
Yeah, I think they just released him to make room for, I think it was a defensive end But I'm not 100% sure.
Well, either way, Greg Zuerlein, I guess, is no longer with the Jets. And they tweeted, "For all you've given to Jets, thank you, Greg." And there's a green heart there. And I think this is a sentiment that the Washington Commanders fan base and the organization should also send out there. Because if you remember, Greg Zuerlein was as an important of a piece for the 2023 season as
Ron Rivera.
Anybody here, if you go back, of course, Washington lost their last 8 games after a 4-5 start, and they were getting smoked. They lost to Dallas 45-10, Miami 45-15. The last 2 games they lost 27-10 and 38-10. But in week 16, they're playing the New York Jets, and it looked like another blowout. They're getting whooped. They were down 27-7. Sam Howell is miserable, 6-for-22, a couple picks. They bring in Jacoby Brissett, and then all of a sudden, the Commanders go all the way. They take the lead. And in the last second, Greg Zuerlein, with 5 seconds to go, nails a 54-yard kick for the Jets to win. Because of that, the Commanders, after losing their next 2 games, get the second pick in the draft and take Jaden Daniels. And everything has changed from that. So big shout out to Greg Zuerlein.
Shout out.
Pour one out for his reign. Drink, chug a beer, whatever you got to do. Big one for Greg Zuerlein. All right, coming up next, like I said, Steve Wynette. We're going to break down the Caps, what happened against the Hurricane, and where do things go from here on the Team 980.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, we led the show today with, of course, the sadness of the Washington Capitals season coming to an end, and Max and I discussed that for a bit, but now we're going to get somebody who lives and breathes this stuff. Steve Wynette, of course, covers the NHL, has covered the Capitals for many years now, does it for the Associated Press. Steve, I appreciate the time. You've got your pulse on this team like nobody else, so before we get to the bigger picture, what happened in this series? Why did the Capitals ultimately fall Carolina in 5 games?
Well, Ben, the Capitals were just not the better team in the series. Carolina was just better. And I think a lot of folks from the outside, without sort of the bias of this, maybe the Stockholm Syndrome of being around this team a lot, realized that the Hurricanes were the betting favorite going in. And when you look at everything that these teams try to do one team just did it better. And there you can look at certain moments in the series, and Logan Thompson in goal allowed two bad ones in game five that contributed to the Capitals losing and getting eliminated. And Freddie Anderson, the Carolina's 35-year-old goaltender who's been around forever and what has been one of the best in the playoffs so far. So even though the Hurricanes didn't make him face a lot of shots, he was really good when he had to make saves. Logan Thompson wasn't. Not totally on Logan Thompson, though. The Hurricanes allowed the Capitals to take under 20 shots a game. There were 11 out of the 15 regulation periods that they had eight or fewer shots. There was no room for the Capitals to operate. And Spencer Carberry said it after the game last night. Before we even get to the shortcomings, and that there's going to be plenty of analyzing and overanalyzing of all that, you got to just applaud the Hurricanes for winning a playoff series by suffocating the crap out of the Capitals.
Is there any part of this from the Capitals? Again, credit to the Hurricane for what they did, but is there any part from the Capitals that you were surprised or maybe disappointed in as to what they did or didn't do in this series?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get the offense that they've had all season. I mean, guys like Alexei Protas and Connor McMichael and some of these players who provided that sort of secondary scoring beyond Alex Ovechkin and Tom Wilson and the big guys didn't produce. And then they couldn't break through what the Hurricanes were doing to sort of defend them. And Carolina has a reputation for being a really good, tight-checking defensive team, incredibly well-coached. Spencer Carberry is one of the best in the league. He's probably going to be coach of the year. But he did get out-coached by a more experienced guy in Rod Brind'Amour in this series. And so I think you throw the combination of all that and just the circumstance of Martin Fehérvári, one of their top four defensemen, being injured, having the knee injury, being out for the entire playoffs. They really missed him, and they just weren't able to put it together at any point to contend in this series with Carolina.
We're, of course, talking with Steve Wino, longtime Capitals insider, National Hockey League insider. He's also the author of a great book, Odd Man In, Hockey's Emergency Goalies and the Wildest One-Day Job in Sports. I think Father's Day is coming up, just saying. So let me broaden this out a little bit here. Obviously, Alex Ovechkin remains, you know, front and center for this organization. He just became the all-time leading goal scorer in league history. He's got more chance, assuming he comes back next year. He's under contract. But as I was, like, looking at this situation, it kind of made me feel like perhaps this is the turning point in this franchise in terms of Ovechkin being front and center versus something of the past. Even if he comes in next year, like, they have to start moving forward. He's gotten the record. And I'm not saying that they've necessarily built their whole roster around him, but, like, it feels like this is maybe a turning of the page towards the going forward. I could also be 1,000,000% wrong because this isn't really my bag. You tell me, is this a potential turning point in how, not just how we maybe look at the team, but maybe how internally they look at it?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Ben, actually. That this is now, and we saw this specifically in this series, but the playoffs, that Alex Ovechkin can still do one thing really well. He can score goals. But he looks finally like a 39-year-old, about to be 40-year-old hockey player. And I know, as from being 39 right now, what it feels like just to walk around and to have to play hockey against these other big, fast men going at high speeds, that he looks incredibly slow, his hands are gone, all these other things that happen to every athlete at one point, right? Like, this is not a slight to Alex Ovechkin. He looks like he can only do one thing, but still, the hardest thing to do in the sport is to score goals, and he can still do it. So there's value there, but I think you started to see it in this series of Spencer Carberry, really the second half of the season after the goal record and all that, of he is now a specialist. He's a power play specialist who should play a handful of shifts still at even strength, but he's not the best player on the team anymore. Even if he's the leading goal scorer, there's one thing he can do. But I think the organization realizes this, and the coaching staff realizes it. And as long as Alex Ovechkin is on board with, look, you've got 1 year left in your contract, you're going to be 40 years old, this is the role that you're going to be in, and everybody's on the same page, I think that's fine. And then the Capitals can look sort of toward the future of how are they going to spend the salary cap space that has been allocated to Alex Ovechkin during this time to improve the roster and to sort of turn that page forward after that. But yeah, one more year at $9.5 million, a farewell tour that Alex Ovechkin is going to get. He might pump in 20 goals, he might pump in 30 goals, get that number over 900, and make the record harder and harder to catch. But yeah, we reached a point in Alex Ovechkin's career where he really is, like, he's always been a physical player and being able to do all these other things, a really great passer, underrated passer. He is now at this stage the one trick pony of being able to score goals and not do much else.
Before I ask you to help us navigate what's going to happen going forward or what kind of plan you would suggest for them, let me go back here throughout the Ovechkin era. And I'm only calling it the Ovechkin era because essentially hockey was a non-factor until Ovechkin showed up here in 2005. And, of course, it's been a tremendous run for all these years. They got the one cup. They 11 division titles, three President's Trophies. Like, it's been fantastic. They also only made it out of the second round one time. And as like a non-hockey guy like me, that's the type of stat I look at and that has to be considered underachieving if you view it as the goal of sports in America is to win the title or at least put yourself in a position to get there, something that, you know, his rival Sidney Crosby has been able to do a bunch of times or his teams did, and Ovechkin didn't. The team didn't under Ovechkin. When you look at these last 20 years, do you look at it as a group that underachieved, or do you look at it as this is a massive success regardless of the playoffs?
I think it's a massive success regardless of the playoffs because of exactly what you said at the start of this, is that hockey was a non-factor in this market until Alex Ovechkin showed up. And then if this team had not won a championship in 2018 or at any point over this, you absolutely say it's a massive failure. Him chasing down the goal record, it has a whole different sort of lens to it that people say, here's the guy who could never win, blah, blah, blah. The narratives we always hear in sports about whether it's Dan Marino or Andy Reid before that or after that or whatever, that the fact that they won a championship and broke through that one year, I think, as our buddy Brian McNally says, banners fly forever. Whatever you could say about the Nationals in this era, they won a championship as well. But I think the Capitals, it's hard to win in the playoffs, and especially in hockey, in a physical sport where you can look at sort of every year, and we were doing this last night after the game, of reasons why they lost. Either they got hit, run into a hot goalie, or injuries decimated them, or their goaltending stunk, or they ran into just a better team, which is what happened this time, what happened against the Rangers last year, when they probably didn't have any business getting in. I think you look at the fact that from the time that the rebuild ended in 07, 08, that they made the playoffs every year but two in that entire span. And were there mistakes along the way? Sure. Letting Barry Trotz go after winning the Stanley Cup over some hard feelings over what he said in a handshake line and not wanting to pay him and all that, and then hiring Todd Reardon as his coach was a massive mistake by Brian McClellan and the organization, and Telly Onsis and Dick Patrick and the entire organization. I don't think anybody can look back and say that was not a complete debacle. But beyond that, this has been a team that has made the playoffs so often. And in hockey, like, you just want to get in the dance and show you can compete. And they run into some really good teams along the way. It wasn't like the Maple Leafs where they only won one or two series the entire time. They made it to the second round. We've seen teams like the Toronto Maple Leafs now with to-the-cap spending, star players, big expectations, bomb out in the first round almost every round and just be a colossal disappointment. The Capitals broke through once. They were able to win some playoff series along the way. And you're going to look back and say, this coaching hire, this mistake cost them a series or two. Maybe they had a chance to make a deeper run in 2019. But I think from a big picture standpoint, when you step back and say the impact that Ovechkin had on hockey in the area and on making this team one of the premier franchises in the league, it's a massive success.
It's hard to argue with that. I mean, again, as somebody who's lived here, grew up rooting for this team, I remember when the Rod Langway trade changed things, and then it went through a dark period after a bit, and then Ovechkin showed, and, you know, it's been a bright 20 years, but, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think if day-to-day, it's impossible to argue against the idea that this has been a massive success, despite only one time getting out of the second round. So as we spin this forward, Steve Wino with the Associated Press, what do they do? Like, what do you view as the strength, and what are the things that they need to do this offseason to stay at this level and then obviously try to get further in the postseason?
Yeah, they're certainly, this is going to be a work around the margins sort of offseason, I think, for Chris Patrick and the Capitals, because they don't have a whole lot of salary cap space to spend, money to spend. Nick Backstrom, TJ Oshie are coming off the books, obviously, and then a year from now it'll be Alex Ovechkin. But this almost feels like a setup summer in terms of just sort of making the team, the area, you have your goaltenders signed, so that's done. There may be a John Carlson extension this summer to sort of get him to the end of his career. He's going to turn 37 during the middle of next season. Maybe that's a 2 or 3 or 4 year extension to get him under contract and make sure he retires a member of the Washington Capitals. I think that's sort of one of the top five priorities. You're going to see guys like Andrew Mangiapane and Lars Eller leave, and you need to sort of figure out the replacements for those guys, and you start thinking about budget options in free agency, one-year deals, two-year deals, maybe sort of bridge contracts to bring some players in and see what kind of internal options there are. The Capitals just signed Ryan Kristol, Andrew Kristol, one of their top prospects, this morning to a contract for next year. Will he potentially contend for a roster spot next year after almost making it out of the blue last year? They got Ryan Leonard, who's their number one prospect, in a lineup late in the regular season. Sort of had some growing pains early on, but there's a lot to be excited about with this team of sort of having Andrew Kristol coming, having Cole Hudson, a defensive prospect coming, and just some of the young talent that I don't think we're going to have the dark days when Alex Ovechkin leaves that we all sort of saw coming with the possibility of this team going into a 2 or 3 year rebuild. I think this is the start of sort of a refreshing or a reset process where you don't want to see this team take a step back. I think they really want to be a playoff contender still with Alex Ovechkin next year, but it's now on the organization to sort of find the little holes of they need a third line center. They probably need another maybe number four, number five defenseman, one more winger. Maybe it's Andrew Kristol, and just sort of fill around the margins. And then next summer, when the cap goes up even more and you've got Alex Ovechkin's nearly $10 million to spend, you go ham in trying to figure out in free agency and trade how to reset this team in the post-Ovechkin era.
All right, last question for Steve Wynja, who is a man of many talents. Not only does he do a great job covering the NHL and the Commanders, he's also a big horse racing guy. I think the Preakness is coming up. I know we're there's no Triple Crown threat because the Kentucky Derby winner is out. But what? Give us a thought on the Preakness. What? Who's the horse to watch?
So the horse to beat in the race is named Journalism. He was the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. Finished second to Sovereignty. He was not running in this race. Really, like the best horse in the race. And if he runs his best, he's going to win. My pick is River Thames, aptly named horse. For trainer Todd Pletcher, did not run in the Kentucky Derby. I got to see him on the track a few days ago at Pimlico and speak with his exercise rider. And he just seems like a real happy, fresh horse. Sandman, who's named after the Enter Sandman, the Metallica song, as you and I discussed on Twitter last night. Big few days for Metallica with playing at Virginia Tech and now having a horse in the Preakness who had a really rough run in the Derby, but I think will run really well. I like Sandman, a combination of Sandman, River Thames, and Journalism. And I'll throw a bomb in there. It's a horse named Heart of Honor who has what looks like a shape of a heart on his forehead and shipping in from England. Actually was bred in the United States and shipped over there and now came back. So he's in his own quarantine barn, but he's a gigantic black horse who's just gorgeous. I think he's got a big run in him too. It should be a fun race even without a Triple Crown on the line.
All right. There you have it. The man who knows everything, Steve Wynja at SWHYNO on Twitter, X, and you can read him in the Associated Press. He comes on my podcast so often, and just a great guy to have around. Steve Wynja is a pleasure. All right, Steve, you rock. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Go have fun at the Preakness, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ben. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good stuff there from Wynja. I saw Max was nodding in agreement about the potential for this team going forward. You know, there's a lot of hope there for the Caps. It's just unfortunate that that's where we're at now. I have to think about the future, not the present. We've got plenty more to come. The NBA playoffs are in full gear. Got more to discuss about the Commanders. We'll do all that next here on the Team 980.
I do think that there will be some public subsidy. We will reach a deal. I do think the deal can be improved. My personal view that we should not use public tax dollars to subsidize a private entity, namely the stadium, is not the majority view. The prevailing view in the council is that we need to do our due diligence, scrutinize the proposal, and make sure it's the best deal possible for the district and for the taxpayers.
All right, that is D.C. City Council Chairman Phil Mendelson. Giving more, you know, he's basically saying, look, the stadium is going to get done. There really doesn't feel like there's much more drama anymore unless the conversations between the council, the mayor, and Josh Harris go completely sideways. But ultimately, I don't think that's going to happen. It's kind of odd because this has been such a dramatic situation for the last, you know, couple of years. you know, is it going to be Virginia or Maryland or D.C.? And then it gets to, wait, what's going on in Capitol Hill? Is it going to be even, is the RFK land going to get, be given to the D.C. to decide what to do with it? Yes, no, yes, okay, it's going to happen. There's still this whole budget out there that Capitol Hill is kind of not been settled yet, and that maybe that affects things in D.C., but it sounds like the money is going to be pulled from a different fund. And Mandelson, who's been one of the bigger opponents or at least skeptics of whether it makes sense for D.C. to make this kind of investment, he's even saying, I think we've got this. It's just a matter of the deal. He ultimately, I think the situation from his perspective is the current agreement or the term sheet had the commanders essentially paying no rent on this. And like, I think the Nats, it's not like, I mean, I want to say the Nats are paying like $6 million a year, which, you know, relatively speaking, for a project that's going to be over $3 billion doesn't seem like a lot. But at the moment, I believe the deal would be for the commanders to pay a dollar a year. So $6 million, if that's some number like that, would be more. And, you know, if the city – does the city need to put up $1 billion-plus, which is the current plan? He's obviously trying to get that number down. But the real story is the commanders are going to be playing in D.C. 2030 is the goal. We'll see how quickly they get this agreement done. But another sign that things are on the up here for the commanders in terms of both playing in D.C. and just getting their overall house in order. People want the commanders in ways that for many, many years they absolutely did not. I think what we want, though, at least I know what I want, is I want to talk about the NBA playoffs, because the playoffs have been fantastic. A great game six last night between the Nuggets and Thunder. We've got another game six tonight, Celtics-Knicks. Fred Katz, my colleague at The Athletic, is going to join me. And we're also, I'm going to throw him a Wizards question as well. We'll get to all that in a moment here on the Team 980.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.